WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Dorchester reporter, news editor Seth Daniel, welcome back.
Hey, Darryl. How are you?
I'm good. Last time we talked to you about White Stadium.
Yes.
Now we're talking to you about Blue Hill Avenue.
Right next door.
You're the changing neighborhood, man.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, the city plans to revamp Blue Hill Avenue with a project that will include a center bus lane. And Blue Hill Avenue is a major corridor in the city. And this particular project will run through Dorchester and Mattapan, a big piece of Blue Hill Avenue.
Right.
Officials tout that it will drastically reduce commute times. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, though, many residents have expressed skepticism, and that includes concerns about neighborhood change and safety, parking. So, Seth, we got you in here because you've been writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to get us started, give us a brief overview of the history of this project.
Right. It's a long history with a lot that you could say about it. But really, it goes back to at least 15 years ago when there was a plan called the 28X, which was something where President Obama wanted to get some transportation money through and Governor Deval Patrick to the heart of the Black community. And that was Blue Hill Avenue. And it had not been improved in 50 or more years. And it needed improvement, still does.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan was turned back. Residents didn't want it. Businesses didn't want it. So that was strike one. Then there was the whole idea of revamping Blue Hill Ave came before the pandemic. There were some meetings about it. The center lane bus began to be talked about for it. There's a lot of room on Blue Hill Avenue, at least four lanes of traffic on either side, and a very wide median. So it made sense to a lot of people, especially planners. It got initially a very negative review. People did not like the idea. They didn't like the idea of cutting down driving lanes, did not like bike lanes. That's not popular.
People hate bike lanes, man.
Especially in that part of the city. It is just seen as a harbinger of change.
Yeah.
So then the pandemic came, and of course everything kind of went on pause. But the idea was resurrected mainly because the federal delegation, Congressman Lynch and Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, had pushed and were able to get several million dollars in funding from the federal government. It had to be for the center lane bus.
And this is a $44 million project.
Yes.
We're talking about the entire project because it's not just the center lane bus.
There's
other upgrades and infrastructure changes.
Right.
I also want to give people a sense of Blue Hill Avenue, where this project is.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that neighborhood and what it's like to live there.
Right. Blue Hill Avenue is not traffic snarled. Some people have said that. It's pretty easy to drive up and down. There are certain points in the day when it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You can guess when they are, morning and afternoon. There's a really bad problem with double parking or just kind of doing whatever you want. There can be parking spaces. And I've often seen people just, maybe they're in like the lane of traffic and they just, almost like an Uber, they just stop and they go where they want to go.
Yeah.
And that's just the culture of the place. It's been like that. And, you just drive around it and you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating, but it's just the way things have always been.
It's a little chaotic.
That slows. So if you're on the bus, that really slows you down. The bus isn't as nimble as a four-door car or even a truck.
And it's your typical major corridor in the city a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's multiple lanes. You're in the city. People are going to drive a little loose.
Yes. So. Yes, they do. One of the bigger things is during those rush hours, you're getting a lot of what I call the Route 24 crowd. So that's Brockton, Stoughton, all the South Shore towns who are trying to avoid 93 and get into the city. And so it's very busy in the morning, very early, and it's very busy in the evening, going into like 6-7 o'clock.
So Seth, let's move to the residents.
Hmm.
This plan is not getting unanimous support from the community.
No.
What are people saying about it? What is some of the pushback?
People think of it in terms of like a box of many things. So White Stadium, as we talked about before, bleeds into Blue Hill Avenue.
And that's the project to renovate White Stadium and Franklin Park.
Yes.
that threatens to disrupt some of the community dynamics there in that neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah, in those neighborhoods connected to White Stadium. Yeah,
yeah, and so it's all wrapped into one box. In addition, new developments, apartment buildings that are being built in vacant lots or in, you know, places that have buildings. And so it begins to be like everything is changing and it's not for us kind of type of thing.
Yeah, talk more about that. Talk more about Mattapan and Dorchester's relationship with the city historically.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been great. I mean, the city has basically left it to do its own thing. And you know, if you've had a vacant lot that the city owned, no one from the city was coming out to clean it except for kids once a year in what they used to call the red shirts, where they would come by and they would clean these lots.
So there's some neglect and underinvestment.
Yeah, and if you were going to take care of your community, it was going to be you, your family, friends, and neighbors. And that's happened a lot. You've heard people talk about Franklin Park, where they actually mowed the park when the city never wouldn't. You know, they mowed the golf course with their own lawnmowers. And that's kind of the mindset. People having done that for decades and generations, and now all of a sudden the city wants to come in and do something, you're like, wait, what for who?
right.
We've been doing it ourselves and no one cared. Now
so some of the skepticism seems warranted.
It is and it isn't. I mean, is the city, what are the city's intentions? What is the growth? Where is it going to go? No one could tell. I think the city just wants to improve a corridor that's been neglected. I mean, we're talking about a place that hasn't had sidewalks in 50 years in some cases, where there is no concrete left, it's just grass. And this is a major corridor in the city, no different than Comm Ave.
Yeah.
There are some residents who have more conspiracy type theories, and maybe they're correct, who knows?
Yeah.
But
hey.
I'm not going to go there. But then the other is more measured. It's like, is this going to be like the South End? One of the church leaders said, I like the project, but I don't want the South End to happen here where my congregation doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah.
And
where it just gentrifies so drastically.
Yeah, and very big change.
Yeah. Seth, I want to take a quick break here. But when we get back, I want to continue this conversation, but I want to talk more about how the city is responding to all of this. So we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with news editor for the Dorchester Reporter, Seth Daniel. Seth, we're talking about the project on Blue Hill Avenue that would add a center bus lane on a stretch of the corridor going through Dorchester and Mattapan. Community members are not all on board, and I'm curious to know how the city is responding to that.
Yeah, so the city, I mean, this is a project, we said the bike lanes and the center lane are kind of controversial. Other parts aren't. Sidewalks, new signals, fix the road, trees, green space. So the city has taken, first of all, a short-term and a long-term approach. You know, the bus lane is a long-term approach, maybe starting construction in 26. The other short-term fixes, they're ready to go on as early as this spring. And that includes, like, you know, fixing some sidewalks, you know, this summer doing large amounts of sidewalk improvements. And so it's like, let's get these smaller things that we can all agree on first and let people see some of the change that could happen here, which is an approach the city's doing more and more in a lot of different projects. This is the biggest one, though. And it lets people see that, you know, change is coming and we're serious about it, right?
Yeah, and a big word in this story is trust.
Right.
I guess when we're talking about the community's reaction to the project and what the city wants to do, it sounds like the city is trying to regain some trust that they've lost over the decades.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not, any one administration's fault that this trust isn't there. It's just built up over a long time.
Yeah.
And for good reason, there was no reason to.
Yeah.
So this is that short-term approach to build that trust. And then the other piece to build the trust is they've pledged to go block by block, mm-hmm. right, with residents and plan out each block and how it would look.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important part to say, hey, it's not done and over. We've decided the center lane bus, but you got a lot of input left here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Seth, we've been referring to the project at White Stadium. I see a lot of parallels between the two stories. How are these projects similar in the eyes of the residents?
Yeah, I mean, so both of them are places that no one cared about, that you could just kind of wander into, walk down, cross, park, triple park, double park. It was the community used it how it wanted to use it,
mm-hmm.
and no one really cared and no one was interested. And frankly, everyone on the outside would say they were too scared to come there, you know, mm-hmm. because it's bad reputation on TV and probably overblown, but mm-hmm. That's the way it was. Suddenly, there's a lot of attention on all these places, and that includes even vacant lots, you know, that have been up and down Blue Hill Avenue. And it's hard to process that. And, you know, everybody wants to come in and do something now. More investment is coming in. So you wonder why and who and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just sort of wraps into one big box of skepticism, fear. The people that I've known, loved, and cried on their shoulder, they cried on my shoulder. You know, is everybody going to be gone and I'm going to be left with a bunch of people I don't know in my own place?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of where we're going. And I mean, that's happened before.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Seth, I don't want to blow you up here, but you're a Dorchester resident.
I am.
You know, mm-hmm. and you report on this community, your community.
Right. Yeah.
What will you be watching out for as the plan gets underway?
Right. The first thing I'll be looking for is this summer, if they start improving the sidewalks, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are just tons of storefronts along Blue Hill Avenue. Many of them are vacant or underutilized. Is there going to be some investment in those storefronts? You know, I'm mm-hmm. going to be looking. That's private investment. I'm interested in seeing that. I'm interested in seeing who buys property there. There's a lot of private lots. There's a lot of city lots, too. So what I'm going to be looking at, first and foremost, is the economic activity around it. Because as it's been said a number of times, if you have this bus going and stopping all the way up and down, there needs to be something to stop for. And I'm going to be looking to see if something starts to emerge to stop for.
Understood. Seth, thank you so much for coming through to The Common. It's truly a pleasure talking with you, and we'll keep an eye out for your reporting.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. Let us know how you're liking the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who's already done it. I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.